just kidding. Some churches will have the donuts and the coffee out front, you know, when you go into church. Well, that's great. That's cool. That's the way they minister to people, and I have no problems with that whatsoever. I don't. And the idea is, man, if all I got to do, because I've heard it, if all I've got to do is buy 4 dozen donuts on Sunday morning, that's going to make you pull up in the parking lot and you're coming for the donut, but you hear Jesus, great. Okay, so that's an argument. I'm not making that argument. I'm just saying it's out there, okay? So regardless of how it happened, he's at the feet of Jesus. Guys, regardless of how it happened in your life right now, you're sitting in a church on a Wednesday night listening to me talk about Jesus out of this book. No matter how it happened, good or bad, no matter how it happened, when you're at the feet of Jesus, don't worry about so much how you got there. Just thank God that you're there. Just praise God that you're there. Praise God that you got where you needed to get. Sometimes it's an ugly deal. You know, God Bless the Broken Road, that country song, which I think is a cool song. Yeah, now that's more than a relationship with a human being on this earth. God Bless the Broken Road that brought us to where we're at right now, that brought us to His feet. So don't despise what brought you to His feet. Don't despise the crowd because they jerked you off and made you making fun of you. Look at this blind guy. We're going to carry him down here. That's okay. It doesn't matter. You're at the feet of Jesus now. Because everything changes when you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. No matter what circumstance you just walked out of, no matter what issue you just walked out of, when you are at His feet, when you are in His presence, the rest of it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long you've been blind. It doesn't matter how you got blind. It doesn't matter all the things that you've done just to get by because you were blind. All that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore because when you're at the feet of Jesus, that's the most important thing. So no matter what the intention, no matter what their relationship was, he was brought to the right place. And I think this is an important thing too, especially people who have been in church for a little while, and I'm talking about just a little while. Even if this person... There's people in our life. God puts people in our lives. That's how we relate to one another. Okay? So this person that brings you, this person that was integral, so integral in your faith at some point in your life, and you should have these people in your life this was an important person in my faith journey. They either brought me to church for the first time, or they led me to the Lord, or they, were there when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is, there's people that are going to be integral in your faith walk. Okay, and now let me tell you, everybody in here, 100%, one of those people, at least one of those people, will let you down. All of those people, if you know them well enough, will let you down to one degree or another. Some of them may walk away from the faith. Some of them may do this, some of them may do that. If you walk this thing long enough, you're going to be disappointed by people. The people are just the crowd. Don't let that relationship affect your relationship with the Father. That is so easy to do. That is so easy to do. It's so easy, guys, as you guys get to interact with a lot of different churches and a lot of different people, and I know a lot of them are going to be great influences in your life. And if you ever hear somebody that you heard that was really, really spoke something to you that really changed you, and then you hear 2 months later that they've fallen off the wagon, they don't even love God anymore. They're just, just gone crazy. Don't let that affect who you are, because that has nothing to do with your faith. That has nothing to do with how God looks at you and how the Father looks at you and His love that He has for you. Okay? So, y'all always, all these crazy televangelists that, are trying to get your money and stuff. Were people that were saved in their ministry, are they really saved? Absolutely. If they got a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't care what happened. They're saved to the bone. Because their salvation had nothing to do with this evangelist. Their salvation had nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. They were a vessel. Vessels can be broken. So don't let the crowd being mean run you off. Don't let the crowd, whatever the crowd does, has nothing to do with what this man is about to experience. Has nothing to do with that. So, now that we've put that to rest. I talked about that longer than I meant to. Verse 23, I think this is, to me, the coolest part of this, the scripture. So Jesus led him as his sighted guide outside the village. That one line right there. So there was a moment in this man's life. How cool is this? There was a moment in his life where he had been blind for however long. And I think we find out later he wasn't born blind. I think that's obvious from the scripture. But at some point he goes blind. He gets dragged down at the feet of Jesus. There's a point in this man's life, and for the rest of his life and all of eternity, he can say, I was blind. I'm talking in the most physical sense of this. That's what struck me is, you know, we always say, I'm blind, and Jesus leads me, and he does, and it's a very spiritual thing. But this in a very physical way. He had this awesome, and that's how he needs to look at it, and that's how we should look at it. He had this awesome opportunity to be completely blind, and the creator of the universe comes up to him and says, come on, come with me. And he had to trust Jesus to walk outside of the city. He had to trust Jesus to be his eyes. He turned his trust from this crowd of people. He turned his trust and put his hands on Jesus' shoulder or held his arm. I don't know how he did it, but he was allowing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the living Word of God, to guide him. And he walked. That's the safest steps he ever took in his life. And he was completely blind. And by the world standard, he was completely broken. But those were the safest steps he ever took. Do you think Jesus for 1 second would have allowed his foot to fall? Do you think he would have led him the wrong way and let him hit a wall? No. I was helping roll Dad into the... had to get him funny, but not funny. Mom had his little air tank yesterday. She didn't know how to use it. He had had oxygen at home, but she had a little portable one. This is a funny story, so I don't know why I'm going here, but this is the point. So she's trying to get it figured out. She's got it leaking oxygen everywhere. Anyway, I'm rolling him in. I got him in a wheelchair to roll him in because he was just having a hard time breathing. And so he's got the little thing around your nose, you know. And I've got him in a wheelchair. Mom's got this oxygen tank, and it's in a little dolly. And me and her have never practiced this before. We about killed that man. I was like rolling in, and his head's like going back. I'm like, oh, no, what's going on? And Mom's like, hey, now, wait a minute. Where was I going with that? Why did I tell you all that story? Trusting people. Jesus is not going to do that to you. He is going to walk you so clean. He's going to get you there so well. Even when you're in that blind state. That's the thing. He had not been healed yet. He didn't know what Jesus was going to do to him. He didn't know how this was going to turn out. He didn't know what was going to happen. But he had this point in his life where he could always say, you know, I walked down a dusty road in this little town, and I had my hands on God. And he walked me. And I was walking in the same footsteps that he walked in. And he didn't mind getting the same dirt on his feet that I got on my feet. He came down to where I was. He became flesh and bone, and he walked up to my stinky self, and he allowed me to put my hand on his shoulder, and he didn't float above the ground, and he didn't just zap me there. He didn't just say, I'll meet you when you get there. I'll get the crowd to lead you down there. He said, you put your hand right here, and I'm going to walk with you through this thing. I'm going to walk with you through this thing. Yes, you're still blind. Yes, you're still struggling. Yes, you still have sin in your life. Yes, you're still stinky and smelly. And yes, you've got all these problems. But I don't care. You put your hand in mine. You put your hand on me. And we're going to walk this thing together. Jesus didn't do anything different than he did. He could just see. To me, that's one of the coolest things. You know how busy Jesus was? Do you know how incredibly busy Jesus had to be? He had three and a half years to get all this stuff done. That's when his ministry started to the time he was crucified. He had all these prophecies fulfilled. He had all this stuff to do. The weight of everything is on his shoulders. He's accepted this from the Father. He's doing all this stuff. And he said, you know, hey, buddy, you might not even want to be here. You might not even have the faith yourself right now. It has never said anything about the faith of the man. You may not have the faith right now, but I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to stop what I'm doing right now. I'm going to stop spinning the earth for a second because I want you to put your hand on my shoulder and I'm going to walk with you through this thing because that's the kind of God we serve. He is not too busy for you. You are not too small for Him. He cares about everything going on in your life, and He wants to walk through all of it with you. He wants to walk through all of it with you. The big question, I think, that when you read the scriptures, why did Jesus not heal him on the spot? So many times with so many miracles, people literally can just become in his vicinity and touch the hem of his garment in this absolute crowded situation, and all they do is reach out, touch the hem of the garment, and they're healed in this massive situation. And they were healed right there. They didn't have to ask him. Just believing, just being in his presence. That's one way somebody got healed. But in this situation, it's totally different. It's a different deal. Why didn't Jesus just say, okay, good deal, you're healed, you're good, you can see. The end result would be the same. Got something right?
Just if you're reading that, it says that he didn't want to do a work in Bethesda because before he had done works in Bethesda and they wouldn't turn and repent. So he said it would be better in other cities because they had repented and Bethesda hadn't repented. So he was not going to do any more miracles in Bethesda. That's reading he led him out of the city because he was tired of them and their unbelief and their non-repentance. That's reading he led him out of the city to do the miracle and told him not to go back.
I need to chime in. See, I didn't have that. That's good. That is true. And God is the God of His Word when He says something. That's in Matthew. That's true. That is true. He did tell him that. So, yeah, that's definitely going to play into it. That's not where I was going, but that's very true. Absolutely. The reason I was thinking of it, and it's similar to that, was a lot of times God has got to get you out of the environment you're in. And it does play along with that exactly because Jesus had said that. So Jesus did not like that environment. Absolutely. But a lot of times we're in an environment that God's like, I got some stuff I want to do for you, but I'm not doing it for you here. I'm not doing it for you while you're in this situation. I'm not doing it. Guys, there's a reason that y'all are where you're at. God needed to pull you out of a situation, put you in a different environment. There's nothing wrong with that. He does it to all of us. He does it to all of us. There's environments I don't need to be in. There's environments that are not going to work out for me. There's environments that the crowd standing around him was not the environment that Jesus wanted. Jesus didn't want the crowded environment in this man's circumstance. In this man's circumstance, in this particular situation in his life, he wanted privacy. He wanted intimacy. He wanted to be able to look at this man. He wanted to be able to talk to this man. He wanted to spend some time with this man, and he could not do it in the hustle and bustle of the town. And like Randy was saying, he's already said, look, well, I'm not doing anything in here because these people don't really, really want to know me. And that I think that has a lot to do, Randy, to what you're saying. I don't feel like the guys that led him here had good intentions necessarily. I think they wanted to see a show. I just feel that. I may be totally wrong on that, and God might be like, no, you're wrong on that. But I feel like there's an element of at least some of them that just wanted to see a show. There are people that walk through those doors sometimes. I don't think people that are necessarily members of our church, but there are people that walk through those doors sometimes that just want to see a show. Like, man, I've heard all this stuff about Victory. I want to go see what it's all about. That's okay. That's cool. Come on in. See the show. I have no problem with you coming to see the show. It's not like I don't want you here. Absolutely. Come see the show. You'll find out it's not a show. Has nothing to do with a show. Has nothing to do with this fancy miracles and all this stuff. It has everything to do with an encounter with the King. Has everything to do with an encounter with Jesus Christ. Has everything to do with an encounter with who I am and what my destiny is and what God wants for me. That's what it has to do with. So you can come for the show, but you're going to find something else. I hope. I hope when you have the eyes to see, that's what you see. Why make him follow you out of city? God wants us to follow him to a quiet place. Sometimes it's an unknown place. This blind man most likely never left the city. When you're blind, I know I've watched some stuff about people that are blind and how amazing their senses become, how in tune they are. Usually people that are blind are super, super intelligent because they have mastered their mind. Saying like they could sit here with a stick and walk right through there, and if there was something in the floor, that they would know to walk around it because they're just so in tune. But they still will stay in a routine. That's how they're going to stay safe. They're going to be a routine and stuff. I've watched CNI dogs, you know, because I'm a big dog person. I think it's amazing that God gave us these creatures that would, you know, do this. And that's part of it, is they want to stay in a routine. And if they get out of the routine, that's when the dog comes in and makes sure they're safe and stuff. But to say that he most likely was going someplace, it's very possible he had not been since he was blind. He was walking outside of this city into an unfamiliar territory that most likely these people weren't carrying him out on nature walks all the time, okay? This one, that kind of world, okay? Most likely he had not gone this way. So he was having to follow God into this place he had never been. If that's not a picture of what our life, our walk with Christ should be constantly, is we should constantly have our hands on his shoulder and allow him to walk us to places we have never been. Allow him to take us to places that we are so terrified of going before because we couldn't see. And God says, you don't have to see. Remember that. You do not have to see. I want to see. James wants to see what's going on. I want to see what's happening right now, and I really need to see what's happening tomorrow. I prefer to see what's happening next week, next month, and so on. I really prefer that. That's what I want. I want to see where I'm going. I want to know what's happening. And God says, I know you do, and sometimes you will, and that's great, and I'll let you see stuff sometimes, but sometimes you're going to be completely blind and have your hand on my shoulder, and I'm going to take you someplace. And that's when faith begins. That is when faith begins. Because the blind man could have said, whoa, 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 we're going outside the gate. I know we're going out. No, I'm out. I'm gone. Forget it, guys. I'm done. I don't know this guy. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what y'all are doing to me. I feel comfortable in there. I feel comfortable sitting on the street begging. I'm fine with that. Y'all leave me alone. I am not going out there because I don't know where we're going. I've heard there's lions and tigers and bears out there. I'm not going. I've heard that something may be required of me if I do this. I've heard this. I've heard that. I've heard this ministry will take you there. I've heard that it's, you know, if I do this, it'll do this. You've got all this stuff that we fill our minds with that keeps us from going out into someplace. That keeps us from exploring, you know. That, you know, Sid's topic on, you know, exploring and everything. That keeps us from doing that. It keeps us from going out. And when we don't do that, we don't find those new places in God. We don't find our sight. If he had stayed inside the city, he would not have found his sight. I think there's an element too, because you can look at this guy. This guy never, you never see anything from this guy. And we don't have the whole story. Like I said, it's only, you know, four verses here. So you don't obviously know the full story of this guy. But it's very possible this guy just didn't have a whole lot of faith in this thing, because he was led. A blind man got his friends to take him to Jesus. It doesn't say it that way. It says that they took him almost against his will. Or not as, just he wasn't like, he's like, okay, I guess. Jesus knows where you're at, 100%. He knows where you're at. He knows everything that's happened in your life. He knows exactly where your mental, where your spiritual self is at. And God knows how to nurture that so good if we will just let him. I think Jesus knew this man's, I think he was a fragile guy. I think he was a fragile guy, a broken guy. And I think he didn't know what was happening. So Jesus said, we're not doing this in this crazy atmosphere for a lot of reasons. I'm going to get you out here because I need to talk to you, and I'm going to do this the way I want to do it. I'm going to do it on your speed, and I'm going to do it the way that's best for you. Sometimes God, he wants to create an atmosphere for building our faith. That's really important to God. You know, it's like in school and stuff, you want this atmosphere where kids can learn. You know, you want them to feel safe. You want them to be fed. Yeah, I'm not a teacher, but I can imagine these are important, so that they feel like they're safe. And when they're safe and they feel like, then they can open their minds up and learn. If they're starving to death and they're afraid, you know, something bad's going to happen, they don't care anything about your math problems. God wants to create an atmosphere where you feel safe, where you trust him, where you know, I may be standing on the edge of a cliff right now, but God's holding my hand So I'm in him, so that allows me to calm down and be safe. God wants you to feel safe in his presence. God doesn't want you to feel threatened when you walk in those doors, like, ooh, man, I'm in God's house. Ooh, I better be careful. I better be careful in here. I better do the right thing. I better not think any bad thoughts in here. He'll strike me down with lightning. See, the church is good about trying to create that atmosphere, and that's not the right atmosphere. You should not have any kind of fear or anything about just coming up to this altar and praying. There's nothing special about this altar. It is, I'm assuming, plywood and carpet. I've never seen under it. But that's what it is. But it represents something. It represents something. God wants this atmosphere that you feel safe. And I think that's one of the things that he was doing for this guy. He was leading him to where he felt safe. He also wants our attention. He wanted to remove distractions. If you're a blind guy and you're sitting in the middle of a city and there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on. I mean, you got donkeys running everywhere. You got people trying to sell stuff at the market. You got, you know, all those crazy sounds that you would hear in a busy hustle and bustle of a town. And so Jesus might be trying to talk to you, but you're hearing, you know, this over here go on, and you're being distracted. You know, and that's when you come in here, and when you come into God's house, that's what we want to eliminate distractions. We want you to be able to focus. You know, when we're doing worship, we're going to turn the lights down. It's not because we want you to feel free where you can worship. That's part of it. We want you to feel free, but we also want to eliminate distractions. I want you focused on the words on the screen, if anything, in this room. And honestly, if you're not focused on those and you're just worshiping, that's even better. But I don't want you worried about the worship team. I don't want you worried about the deer that sometimes will try to distract us, those demon deer that come out that are beautiful in the morning on Sunday mornings. They're sent by Satan. They're trying to distract you. Don't look out the windows. That's why some churches, I love our view, it's beautiful, but they've got it blacked out. You can't even see out. It's the only place you can look. But he wanted to eliminate the distractions. So why did God wait so long? Why didn't he heal him right there? That's where I was going. So we can see all those things. Or we can be upset that God didn't heal us right then. Sometimes we are. Sometimes we're upset because I prayed for something and you didn't do it. You didn't do it right then. You are God. I know you can do it. I know you have the power to do it. This guy could have looked at Jesus and said, listen, I've heard all these stories about how you just heal people, but you're making me, I'm blind, man. I'm blind and you're making me walk. You're making me do all this. Don't you know I'm blind? Don't you realize I can't see? And you're making me walk out here. And I know you did this for these other people. And I heard that you did this in this town. But you're making me walk. I'm just offended. I'm just hurt that you would do this. I'm just discouraged. Because so many times we want to skip the process. We want to skip the journey. Which in turns we skip the intimate conversation. We skip walking down that dusty road. We skip all of the effort, and we just want to be healed. And that is dangerous. That is dangerous. I want to tell you something that I think is absolutely true. God cares so much more about you than your healing. We are so focused on our healing, and a healing is a very broad term here. Our need, our thing that we want. Our lack, our whatever it is, that consumes us. That's all this guy had, is he was known as a blind guy, and he was blind, and that determined everything in his life, and he needed to be healed. He needed to be taken off of him. And when God looks at you, he's, okay, I mean, that's just a byproduct. He is so much more concerned about you. He cares more about you than your addiction. He cares more about you than your shortcomings. He cares more about you than anything. He cares more about us than this cancer. He cares more about us than any of that stuff. That's a byproduct of being in this world. It's a byproduct of the sin nature. He is not consumed by that like we are. That's why he can say, oh, you're blind? Okay, well, I've got something really, really important that I want to do with you. I get that you're blind, but I'm not all that worried about that because that's something that's so easily fixed. I've got bigger and more important things to teach you right now. Why is this program so long? Yeah, you can go in a couple weeks. All the stuff's going to be our system. You're going to be clean. It ain't about that. And if you make it about that, you miss the point. Because once you have an encounter with the King, once you are sitting in the dirt, and He's sitting there with His hands on your face, and He's licking His fingers and rubbing them on your eyes, and He's talking. You don't think Jesus, they were having this conversation? They're having a conversation while this is going on. He's finding out that this King loves him. He's finding out that this man is going to die on a cross for him. One day he'll realize he's going to die on a cross for him. You don't think that he knows when Christ gets crucified? He says, that's my Jesus. That's the one who came in and healed me. That's the one who came in and put his spit on my eyes. And he's the one I can see now. He had relationship with him. It wasn't just an in passing. Jesus wanted so much more than just to heal him. And sometimes all we want from Jesus is just to be healed. And that's not what he wants. Yeah, he wants you to be clean. He wants you to be whole. He wants all that. But he wants relationship with you. He wants you to know that he loves you. What would we miss out on? What would we miss out on? And I know some things we want to miss out on. I get it. I get it. We want to miss out on some of these things. And that's okay. That's not wrong to not want to have to experience this thing. But the things, the intimacy with God that we would miss out on. We must trust that He always leads us to goodness and wholeness. God is a good God. So you can trust where He's taking you. I don't know where I'm going, but I know you're taking me there, so I will trust you taking me there. When I was in Scouts many years ago, we went to Cumberland Caverns up in, where is that, Cleveland? Where is that? Somewhere in Tennessee. And we did the little back tour, you know, where you're crawling on your belly through this cave, beautiful cave. I'm scared to death of heights. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I used to be really bad scared of heights, especially when I was in Scouts. That wasn't my thing. You get on the roof of a house, I'm freaking out. Call 911. You got to tranquilize me to get me off the roof, then lay me down and take me off. I had to trust when we went in this cave, there was this guy leading us through there, and literally all we had were like little headlamps, or maybe I had a flashlight. It may have been pre-headlamp. I don't know. I'm getting older. But you're going through, and if you've been in a cave, like a straight-up cave, I'm not talking like this was the back part. This was the part where, like, it was an old wrought iron fence that they opened and we crawled in. It was like where the original explorer went in or something. Could not see anything except for that light right in front of you. Well, this cat that's leading us through there, I mean, we're just trusting him 100%. 100%. Couldn't see a thing, didn't know where we were going, but I was trusting him 100% that he was going to get us through there. And, we're climbing, we're walking along in the mud and crawling on our belly and all this stuff, and then we come to a little set of ladders, and I go up a few steps, and we go over, they get on another ladder, and I eventually get on this one ladder, and I climb up this ladder, and I get to the top of this ladder. Remember, I can't see anything. And I realized that the next step is another ladder that's literally been stacked on top of that ladder. And at this point, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have no idea how high I am in the air because I can't see. I mean, you can put your flashlight wherever you want to. You're not going to see anything. You're going to see right in front of you. It's like leaned up. It's not like floating in midair. It's like leaned up on this embankment. I'm like, okay, this is another ladder. I know I just went up to a 16-foot extension ladder, and this one's stacked on top of this one. But I never questioned it because I knew the guy that went first. I knew that the guy in front of me knew where he was going. I knew they had good intentions for us. I knew, as a 15-year-old kid, they're not going to bring us out here and kill us. They're going to keep us safe, obviously, so it's okay. I have that much faith in some kid that I've never met before in my life. I know that I'm not going to die in a cave somewhere. That could really happen. But I don't trust God a million times more than that. When you get to the top of that ladder, just keep going. If that's where Christ is going, you just keep climbing. You just keep going. No matter what your fears or inhibitions are, you just keep going with Him. He's going to take you in a good place. All right, why spit? That's what I label this part of it. So he spit in his eyes. And I always, you know, it's one of those, it's a little uncomfortable because spit's kind of gross. And you're like, Jesus, why were you being gross? I mean, you know, spitting in his eye, that's just nasty. I mean, couldn't you do something other than throw some water in there or something like that? And you can read a lot of stuff on the spit and all that stuff. I will tell you this. I feel like, in just studying this, and I feel like Jesus, this is one of his very compassionate moments. Imagine that you've been blind for that long. Your eyes are most likely going to be closed. You've got so much dirt and grime that build up. You're not getting a shower every day. In this culture, you don't go get you a shower every day and, you know, get clean and wash your hair every day. That don't happen. So this man is blind, and Jesus spits in his eye or spits in his hand, whatever translation you read, at the end of the day, he's putting spit in this man's eyes and rubbing it. And then he says he puts his hands over his eyes. Now, if I'm that guy, I'm a little ticked off. I'm like, okay, why are you doing this? This is nasty. This is gross. Why are you doing this? Now you're just making a fool of me. Jesus, I feel like the reason he was doing, I feel like this is one reason. You know, God can show you a lot of different stuff in here, but he showed me today. He said, James, sometimes I know what I want to do in your life. I know what's about to happen in your life. I know the good things that I want for you in your life. And in this situation, I know that your eyes are nasty. And I know if you were to open them up right now, you would get all this dirt in your eyes. I know all this world that's accumulated on you will rush in to what I just did. So I'm going to use myself. I'm not going to use water. I'm not going to use some Clorox wipes or whatever you clean. Don't do that with your eyes. I'm not going to use some other thing. I'm going to use a piece of me. I'm going to use a piece of me, and I'm going to prepare this part of your life for the miracle that's about to happen. So yeah, it seems weird and it seems unorthodox and you don't understand what I'm doing, but I'm going to spit on my hand and I'm going to clean this eye out because I know the miracle that's about to happen to your eye. I know that you're about to open that eye and you're about to see. And I'm going to put my hand over your eye because I know how bright the sun is. And I know you're about to see so clearly that it'll hurt your eyes. And I don't want the thing that I'm about to heal to be hurt in any way. So I'm going to protect that thing. God will do that for you. God will protect that thing in your life that he is about to do with his own self. That's what I see when I read this. I see that Jesus is so compassionate about this man. He's like, hang on, man. You're about to open these babies. And when you open them up, all this crap's going to get in there. So let me clear it out. As mothers, have you not done that to your kids? They got some crap on their face, you know? That's what Jesus is doing to this man. He's like, hang on, something that's really awesome about to happen. Just hang on just a second. Let me get this out of here. You got a little crap in your face. You got a little world on you. You got a little something that the world has put on you that I need to get off, because if I don't get it off, it's going to get in the thing that I'm about to fix in you. So instead of being like the kids and like, oh, stop, Mom, that's embarrassing me, say, God, just whatever. Spit all over me. You clean me up how you want to clean me up, because I trust you. Again, I trust what you're doing in my life. I trust that this really weird thing that's going on in my life that I don't understand, that makes no sense to me, that you've never done to anybody else. You know, I read on Facebook the other day, and you never spit on anybody. I was reading what you were doing. Allow God to do that thing that doesn't make sense in your life, because you don't know his purpose. We don't know his purpose. We don't know why that thing is going on. Yes?
Hang on. You know better than anybody. You're in charge of this.
And I don't know if I can get all this out, but when you said saliva, spit, my mind went to DNA. So what do you swab to get a DNA test inside of your mouth? So I'm wondering if part along with that, if maybe he was taking the essence of his DNA and putting it in that man to just dissolve what it was that was blinding him. That's just where my mind went, was he was using his DNA to impart into that man.
That's very good. Putting his identity on him. That's good. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, this is not controlling you anymore. I am. The world has had this on you. Absolutely. That's good. Also, when I was thinking of that too, I don't know. I think my mind's weird sometimes. I think it's interesting that the sun, S-O-N, was blocking the sun, S-U-N. Isn't that cool? That's kind of cool. I don't know. I think God's got a sense of humor. I'll be honest with you. I think God's got a really cool sense of humor. I think we're going to laugh in heaven. I think that's why we laugh now. I think that's an expression of joy. I think it's part of joy. Madeline cracks me up. Gosh. I think laughing is part of us. I don't know why I'm on that. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize. I've got 3 pages of notes left, and I'm like off on a tangent. So the people were trees. We got 5 minutes left. People were trees. So this is a lot of times when you read notes about this, they call this the progressive miracle. Because if you were, and I won't read it again just because we're about out of time, but you know, he says he did it, and then he says people, I see people look like trees. But they don't look like people yet. So he wasn't fully healed. And of course we know that God didn't just, I don't have enough power. I didn't boost up enough before I did this one. I made a mistake. Absolutely, 100% not. Jesus did not make a mistake in this miracle. And I don't think, to me, you kind of look at what Jesus is trying to do with this man. This progressive miracle. I think in our lives, we get progressive miracles sometimes. Because I think sometimes if we got the full miracle all at once, we wouldn't totally get all the faith factor out of it that we needed to, if that makes sense. I think that this guy didn't know what was going on, and I think that Jesus said, all right, I'm going to show you how to build your faith. I'm going to show you right now, and I'm going to teach Victory Fellowship in 2020. When they look back on this, it's important that they know that faith is built. Now, God has the power to absolutely come in and miraculously change things in your life, miraculously change who you are today. But sometimes, more often than not, he likes to build us. Because if you've got if you pour a foundation, and it's a really massive foundation, let's take the Hoover Dam. You know that when they did the Hoover Dam, that they did it in sections, and they didn't just pour it. They would pour a block here, and then they would come over here and pour a block here. And then they would pour a block here, and it was this big, whatever size, square foot block. And they did it in this super crazy random pattern. Because the heat from the concrete, if they had poured it all in one solid thing, would have gotten so hot, it would have taken forever to cool, and then it would never cooled and cured properly. And if it hadn't cured properly, then it's going to get cracks. And if you've seen the Hoover Dam and the amount of water it holds back, it's going to kill a lot of people if it were to break. So to build it properly, it had to be built. This section had to be built, and then we're going to pour this section. So while this section's being poured, that section's cooling, and we're going to do this one over here and this one over here. And God builds your faith that way. A lot of times, God will build your faith that way. He will build it in such a way that it is strong, that it has things in it that are built in to fall back on. You're not just dependent on one word from one man. God's going to build your faith in so many ways. That's why he didn't heal people in the same way. He wants you to understand that your faith comes from this experience and this experience and this experience and this one. So in this situation, Jesus wanted to build his faith. He said, okay, all right, so you can see trees. And the guy was ecstatic, yeah. And I think this is where we know that he could see before because he knew what trees were. You know, he wouldn't have known what a tree was if he hadn't seen before. So he had lost his sight somewhere. There's probably a sermon in that, but I didn't go there. But I think this progressive miracle was to help this guy. And do you, here's the ticket. After he saw trees, he said, all right, let's do this again. What was his faith factor when Jesus covered his eyes again? He's like, oh, I'm about to see good now. His faith went up tremendously. I promise you, his faith, after he saw trees, which was not necessarily the end goal, but he knew that this man had power. He knew that he was who he said he was. So now I believe in you. Oh, wait a minute, I'm seeing trees. What? They're people, but they look like, oh, you've got power. So my faith is like, oh, no, let's do it. He probably grabbed his hand and said, let's do it again. God wants to build our faith. So I think that's one of the reasons this progressive miracle was in here. He wants to build our faith. Allow the process to happen. Allow that to go on. Sometimes he wants us to slow down and take in who he is. And I think that was the compassionate miracle part. I think that was the compassion that he was so concerned about this man's, how he unveiled this to him. It wasn't just like, all right, you're healed. I got to go. So now we're going to take time, and I'm going to do this two or three times. I'm going to put my DNA on you, like Cindy said. I'm going to put my DNA on you, and I'm going to, no telling what this man did in his life. We don't know. All these people had miracles. I always wonder, like, what happened to that person? You know, what did they do? Were they in the church somewhere? How did, you know, we don't know that. So he was fully healed. Let's see if we can wrap it up. It's 8 o'clock. And we'll finish up with this real quick. In verse 26, and I always think this is, to me it just jumps out as odd until I think about it. Then Jesus sent him home with these instructions, go home and don't tell anyone what has happened, not even the people in your own village. And I think Randy made a very good point about why he didn't want him going back to that village. There was some history there. But I will tell you this, okay, in your spiritual walk, guys, there are things that God does for us in private, and there are things that he does for us in public. God will do things that's just dealing with you that are just for you. And don't feel like you've got to tell other people about it. Don't feel like that you've got to get up on a Sunday morning and say, God told me this and this and this. There's certain things that are just for you. Don't confuse that with everything, because there are certain things that he tells you that you better testify about, and that you better go out and let people know about. And it's like I tell you guys all the time, if you leave and walk this thing out, and when you get back out into the real world and you pretend like this part of your life didn't exist, and you're going to put that behind you and you're never going to tell anybody about it, Satan wins. Satan wins every time, because you don't think you're going to come in contact with people that don't need to hear your testimony? Don't need to hear that, wait a minute, there's a God that's more powerful than this thing. There's a God that can pull me. There's a God that loves me that much. So never keep this quiet. That's one thing I will say right now. That's not something you need to, that kind of thing you don't keep quiet. But there are things that God will tell us that are private things. There are times that you worship in private. I'll tell you right now, there are times that Linda Carter will worship different at home, in front of her piano at home, than she'll worship right there. There are things that she'll cry out to God at home in private that need to be at home in private. And she'll worship this one way. It's not that she's two-faced. It's that she knows that there are things that this is private worship. And then, my gosh, I'm going to tell you on Sunday morning, there's things that are not private. It is for everyone to hear. There's things that we must proclaim. And that's one of those things, once we get to know God a little bit better, once we get to have that Holy Spirit really working in us, God will be able to tell us, and we'll be able to distinguish these things that are for us to keep and that are for us to, you know, put out there. Private praise and private revelation that God will give you. And there's also public praise and public revelation that God wants to give you. So I think that's covered. Please do.
And the story is so good. It's just one of these little stories of something that he did. And I heard someone say about the Bible that there's so much that the Bible doesn't say. And those are the things that we need to think about as we read it, as we study it, as we just soak in it. Like, all the things that aren't said. And this is like one of the greatest stories ever. Because I heard someone speak on this, and it's so cool. I just have to say, because it just some of the things are really, really interesting, like super interesting. It'll make you think. But this is one of those things where it doesn't really say, like, if Jesus said anything to him. I mean, really, like up until the part where he's like, you know, do you see anything? So did he say anything to him walking out? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe the first sound that the guy heard was someone making spit. I mean, she said DNA, and that's amazing. But what if that's the first sound he heard, the same sound he heard all the time in the city when people were going to get one on him because they were disgusted with him, right? I mean, that's just crazy. But, you know, that's just thinking about things, right? But then you get to the part where he sees something for the first time. And like James said, like, no mistakes are made, right? No mistakes. So this goes to the opposite end of, like, in Isaiah 35, it calls us oaks of righteousness. And in Psalms 1, it says that we're a tree planted by the brook of bliss. So what if Jesus healed his eyes so good that he saw people for who they were? Trees. And then he was like, whoa. Like, just gave you a little glimpse. You know, I'm not going to let anyone else see that kind of stuff. Right? I mean, just that's just too cool not to say. Because, like he said, like, just you just got to think about it. Why does it talk about trees? Why did the guy see trees? But, like, there's two instances where we are mentioned as trees. When we're planted in him, with him, by his living water. I mean, that word oaks of righteousness, and that's just cool. So anyway, makes you think.
Yeah, you do. Well, you didn't really cover it, but in verse 25, he talks about he made him look up. And that's where we look, you know, anytime we go through anything, it's always look up. So that's where I saw that, and I was like, I hope James covered that, but anytime I go through something bad, I mean, that's what I tell people. I'm like, look up. You know, keep looking up. So I just saw that. Didn't know if anybody else needed that or not.
Amen. That's good. Because he could have looked at a lot of places. You know, he could have looked down, looked to the side, looked to the crowd. He could have looked at all the stuff. He could have looked at the trees he'd just seen. But God wanted him to focus on what was important. Looking up. Amen. 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 All right. Well, if you guys want to, we'll close up here. Thank you for everyone who chimed in. And yes, CCC, tomorrow night. Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely. Definitely. So if y'all can make it to tomorrow to CCC, please do that. Start feeding it. 5. 4:45. All right, if you need to come up and ask for some side on anything, if you want to take part in his DNA, it's right there. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, for who you are. God, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for coming to this earth, God. We thank you so much for walking those dirty roads, God. We thank you so much for hanging on that cross, God. For me. God, I thank you so much for the times that you have, time after time, stopped the world to wipe my eyes. Stop what you were doing because you love me so much. And you cared so much about where I was at and what I needed to see and how I needed to see it and how it needed to be revealed to me, God. The creator of the universe. You love me so much and you love every person in this room so much that you will stop what you were doing. You will take us out of the crowd and you will take us out of those places that we don't need to be, God. And you will take your DNA on, put it on me. And so when the Father looks at me, He sees you. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, God. I just pray tonight that every person in here, God, I pray that you have revealed something to them individually about who you are and your love for them, God, and what you want for their life and how they needed to take those next steps, God. As our hands are on your shoulder and we can't see, God, and you just keep walking, I pray that we continually follow you. Lord, we love you so much, God. Be with us. Be with us, God. Fill us up. Let us go forth, God. We just love you. In Jesus' name I pray.